Alexander Graham Bell, as you probably know, invented the telephone, and apparently he had spilled some acid battery on himself and picked up the phone and made the world's first call to his assistant Watson, simply saying, "Mr. Watson, come here, I need you." With that simple call, the history of the telephone as we know it began. Watson was the first of many to answer the call. This week, I was looking at some history of the telephone, which some of you might find extremely boring. I found it somewhat interesting. But the payphone was actually invented only 11 years after that first call in 1887. The answering machine in 1898. I didn't realize the answering machine has been around for over 120 years. The rotary phone didn't come until 1930. The push-button phone came 33 years later in 1963. Some of you are starting to remember some of these events, perhaps. Caller ID came in 1971, which is astounding to me that 50 years ago you would know who was calling you. The mobile phone, as we all know and love it, came in 1984 with the first, quote, smartphone. I don't know what smart means in this context, but first smartphone was 1993. But the touchscreen phone that we are so used to now that I can't imagine living without didn't start until 2007. It's only been 13 years and I'm already addicted to the thing. But isn't it interesting how many of us today hate answering the phone? We don't like answering the phone. You compare this to Watson answering the first call. Can you imagine how excited he was when this odd-looking device started to ring of some sort, and he got to answer a call from someone not sitting next to him? And yet today, many of us don't want to answer our phones. In fact, we tell people, don't call me. Like, go ahead and text me, send me a Facebook message, but don't call me because I won't answer. I still remember being a kid and just being so excited and so joyful when mom and dad finally said, when the phone rings, you can answer it. Like, that was a big deal. And yet today, many of us go, I don't want to ever answer the phone. The novelty has most definitely worn off, probably because it's going to be a telemarketer telling me the warranty on my car has run out or something. But today, though, we're starting a new series, and we're turning our attention to a different type of call. One that many of us are excited to answer, and still others of us want to ignore. We're going to be looking at the call of God in each of our lives. Now, typically when people hear talk of, quote, the call of God, our minds go to some very specific places. We think, I'm called to be a pastor, or God is calling so-and-so to be a missionary. God is calling someone to serve in a certain role at the church. And therefore, we can be quick to assume, well, when we talk about the call of God, that doesn't mean me. God's not calling me because I'm not a pastor, I'm not a missionary, I'm not some leader in the church. But what I want us to start by understanding this morning is that the call of God is not confined to a vocation. The call of God is not just a vocational call or a volunteer opportunity within the church. The call of God, I think, is better understood as a lifestyle. That God is calling each of us to a lifestyle change perhaps, from my ways to his ways, from my plans to God's plans. God is calling each of us into a new life with him. And so for many of us sitting in church today, or those of us watching from home, we've already answered that call. We have answered the call of God. We've proclaimed Jesus as our Savior. When we use the title of Christian in a reference to say, yes, I have answered the call of God. I call myself a Christian. I am following God's plan for my life. I'm trying to follow him in my day-to-day living. But answering the call of God is more than just having a new name or a label. It's more than calling yourself a Christian. Answering God's call by, quote, becoming a Christian is just one of many steps. To answer God's call is not just saying, oh, now I'm a Christian. I've answered the call. I'm done. To answer the call of God is living each day as an opportunity to respond to God's voice in your life, to perhaps speak a kind word into someone's day, to help someone in need, to speak up against violence and discrimination. When we limit God's call to a vocation, or we limit God's call to a once-and-done event in my life, The reality is we are trying to limit what God can do through us. And so today we're going to start to look more closely at our call. How is God speaking into our day, each and every day? And are we listening? Are we answering God's call each day? And so to do this, what I want to do is actually walk step by step through the life of Abram, or Abraham. His name changes in the midst of the story, and this drives me crazy because I don't know which name to use. But he starts as Abram. So we're going to call him Abram today. And I might slip up and say Abraham a half dozen times. You know who I mean. I want to walk through the life of Abraham because Abram is a man clearly called by God. If you know his story, God shows up and calls him. Abraham, I'm calling you out. Abraham, I want you to leave everything. Leave your family, leave your neighbors, leave your homeland, leave everything. I have something big. I have something new for you. And so we think of someone who is called, we think of Abraham, Abram. We meet him in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis, the first book of the Bible. So for 11 chapters, we get this early history of the world. For 11 chapters, we see creation. We see the foundation of our world. We see Adam and Eve. We see sin enter the world, sin growing in the world, kind of culminating in the story of Noah, when God brings about the destruction of all mankind except for Noah and his family. And yet even after Noah, we see the story of sin continue with more defiance, more turning against God. We come to the story of Babel, where people say, we want to be known as better than God. We're going to do this great thing, build this great tower. And so we see this narrative of sin for 11 chapters. And then we come to Genesis chapter 12, and we see God speak. We see God call this man named Abram, call him out of his homeland to go and do something new, something big. Abram is credited with being a man of great faith. He's a man of great faith. He answers this call. In fact, when we get to the New Testament, we come to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter. And the writer of Hebrews gives us a very quick summary of the Old Testament. And he simply says, here's a person of faith. Here's a person of faith. On and on and on and on. Most people get one verse. Kind of a really quick summary of what they did. They're a person of faith, a man or woman of faith. Some people get half a verse. Abram gets 12. He gets 12 verses in Hebrews chapter 11. And so when we look at a person like Abram, we think about being called like Abram, we think of faith like Abram, we probably all are going, okay, I wish that I could be like Abram. I wish I could be a person of great faith who follows the call. And yet, I think what we'll see over the next several weeks is that we are each Abram. We are Abraham. Because yes, he answers the call of God like we want to, but he also messed up a lot. We'll see this over the next several weeks. There's a lot of times we have to scratch our head and go, what were you thinking? He answers the call, but he messes up. He steps out in faith, but he also repeatedly tries to do the journey on his own. If we're willing to answer God's call, I think we will be both as successful as Abram and also as unsuccessful as Abram. And we can learn a lot from his journey. We can learn a lot from his successes and a lot from his mistakes. And so Genesis chapter 12 is where we see kind of the beginning of his formal story. But today we're actually going to go back to Genesis chapter 11 because there's actually a pre-story that I think gives us a lot of insight. And so we're going to be in Genesis chapter 11, the last several verses. We'll sneak into 12 a little bit here, but I don't want to steal too much of Rick's thunder for next week. Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 through 30 says this. This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Ishka. Now Sarah was childless, and because she was not able to conceive. Now, before we go any farther, I need to tell you something. I have no idea how to pronounce most of these names, all right? They're Old Testament names. They're ancient Near East names. Some of them, like Abram, we know because he's pretty popular. The rest of those names, I have no idea. So just smile and nod along with me. because you're all thinking I know what I'm doing, and I really don't. Just smile and nod along and think, wow, he really is good at this ancient pronunciation, and we'll all enjoy this series so much more. But in these verses, we get one of these great genealogies. And the Old Testament is full of genealogies, and we usually get glazed over eyes. But there's a lot of important information here. And so I wanted to pause this morning and just introduce us to the characters. And so if you got the e-bulletin email this week, I copied this picture because I assume the people at home can't see it real well. But we get introduced to a guy named Terah. And Terah has three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, he probably had more. He probably had some daughters that we don't get introduced to, but he has three sons. Now, his son, Haran, he has three children. He has Milcah, Ishka, and Lot. And we learn that Haran dies early in the story, before anything really happens. Terah also has a son named Nahor. Nahor, it seems, marries his niece, Milcah. And we all kind of scratch our head at that one. And what we need to pause and realize here is this story is taking place about, give or take, 2000 BC, 4,000 years ago. Right, there's going to be several things in the next several weeks that we're going to go, that does not seem right to me. That does not make any sense to me. And what we need to acknowledge is this is 4,000 years removed from us today. The culture of the ancient Near East 4,000 years ago was very different than our culture today. And so we can kind of roll our eyes and go, gee, good job, buddy, you married your niece. But in his culture, it was probably okay. So we just need to acknowledge that up front, that Nahor marries Milcah, but we have no mention of any children from them. And then we have Abram who marries Sarai, and we're told, hey, by the way, they can't have any kids, which is a passing statement, but if you know Abram's story, is a really big deal. We'll see this really come to a forefront of the story in a few chapters. But we meet this extended family, and we find out they're living in Ur, which none of you have traveled to, I'm assuming. Ur is also known as Mesopotamia. And if you remember your middle school history, you probably remember studying something about Mesopotamia. It's one of the early civilizations. It's what now is called Iraq. It's modern day Iraq. This is where we meet Abram's family. And so we get this whole family line, and we'd like to assume that these are great godly people because they're in the Bible. These are great godly people. But we find out much later in Joshua chapter 24, is that, they worshiped idols. Joshua tells us that they all worshiped idols. They're not God-fearing individuals. In fact, Ur was known as one of the central hubs for the moon god, the moon idol, the moon demon. And so more than likely, Terah's family worships the moon. His family worships the moon. And so there's this key piece of a thought for us, a key lesson we can learn, even as we just come to this genealogy. The reality is we are each born into a family. And each of our families has its own traditions, its own beliefs. Abram's family worshiped the moon instead of the one who created the moon. Yet his family's choices did not need to define his choice. His family's beliefs did not need to limit his ability to answer God's call. And so likewise, you might belong to a family this morning who doesn't believe what you believe. You might belong to a family who thinks Jesus and God and this Bible and church, it's all fairy tales. It's just all things to make you feel good. And so you can be tempted at times just to go along with the flow of your family of origin. I just want to fit in with my family. I just want to feel like I belong. And so I'm just going to go with the flow and ignore what this call I have in my life. But God is calling you to something different. And what we need to realize is it's up to you to answer your own call. It's up to you to say, God is calling me to a different life of faith than my family or my friends or my neighbors. I have to answer the call of God in my life. No one else can answer it for me. On the flip side, though, your family might be faithfully walking with God. Your family might be answering God's call day by day, following his will and his plan, and you are just going along for the ride, just coasting along. I'll go with mom and dad. I'll go with this thing. And can I tell you this morning, that's not going to be enough. You can't let others answer the call of God for you. It's one thing to say, well, this is mom and dad's faith, and I'm going to go to church with them, or grandma took me to church when I was a kid, and so I've just always gone. But it's your choice to answer God's call, to make this your faith. And so we see Abram living in Ur, his homeland, following his family's ways, settling for this idol worship. And in the midst of this time in his life, God shows up and calls him out. God reveals himself to Abram and says, I have something better for you. I have something bigger for you. Again, he shows up and says, I want you to leave everything, and I'm going to do something new in your life. Now, the Bible reveals a lot about history. We can see that as we read through it. But we also have to keep in mind that the Bible is not a history textbook as we know them today. And so what happens from here gets a little muddled with the historical viewpoint. It's a little confusing until you kind of take a step back. Because what happens in Genesis 11, verses 31 and 32 is this. It says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram. And together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran. Genesis says, here's the family. And oh, by the way, Abram's dad, Terah, packs up part of the family, and they're leaving for something new. It says they're going to go to Canaan. Like, wait, I thought Abram was the one who was called. So did Abram not get his call until they've already left home? But in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we have a guy named Stephen who's giving this big speech. And he says, oh, by the way, God revealed himself to Abram, not in Haran, but back in Ur. And so we get a little confused. In Genesis 12, which we'll get into next week, we see what we know is the call of Abram to leave his homeland, but it comes after the fact that they've already left his homeland. They're already living in Haran. We go, what's happening here? It's a little confusing. Genesis 12, verse 1 says, the Lord had said to Abram. Notice that. The Lord had said to Abram. They're already in Haran. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. So here's what I think is happening as I read all of these passages and go, well, what's happening? Because I don't think they disagree. I don't think they're conflicting. They're just not as clear as I would like them to be. Here's what I think happened. God reveals himself to Abram in Ur, just like we learn in the New Testament. God reveals himself to Abram and calls Abram to something new. Again, when we get to chapter 12, it said God had said this. God promises Abram, I'm going to be with you. You're going to do this new thing. I'm going to bless you mightily. And next week, Rick's going to be looking at some of these blessings. But God says, here, we're going to do this thing together. Follow my call. God says, leave your home, leave your neighbors, leave your family. And Abram goes, wow, that is a call. That is a really big call. That's a really scary call. And so it kind of seems like Abram went to his dad. Abram goes to his dad and says, Dad, I've met God. Not this moon idol thing we worship. I've met the one true God, and he's calling me to do something new. Dad, will you come with me, Daddy? I think that's what happened. The call of God is often big and it's often scary, especially if you're the first one to follow, to step out. It's easy to do what everyone else is doing, but it's a lot harder to be the first one to jump off a cliff, even when you're wearing the parachute. And so Abram hesitates to follow God's call. And he's only partially obedient. He leaves his land, he leaves his neighbors, but he doesn't leave his family. Terah agrees, for whatever reason, to pack it all up, and they head out. But he only goes the first leg of the journey. Rather than following God all the way, remember, God says, I'm going to show you the land to go to. Rather than going to the land that God shows them, they go the first 600 miles to Haran. By the way, this is now a city, not the name of his son. A little confusing to me, but they get to Haran 600 miles away. Now, the road from Ur, I believe it's north to Haran, is a major trade route. Right? So they just pack up and they follow the major trade route up to Haran, and Haran serves as this major crossroads to the known world. So it's another nice place to live. Also of note, the city of Haran was noted to also worship the same idol, specifically the moon idol, the moon god. And so it seems that Tara says, okay, you're being called by God. I don't know what that means, but let's pack up and follow this unique call. But we're only going to go so far. We're going to stay within our comfort. Tara couldn't let go of his own history. He couldn't let go of his own people. He couldn't let go of his own way. He couldn't let go of his own comfort. And so when they get to Haran, they say, you know what? That's far enough. We've followed God a little bit. That's enough. We'll call it stops. And so we get to Genesis chapter 12, and it says, God had said, Abram, you're supposed to leave everything. And it's at that time, Abram recalls God's calling, and he starts out again on the story that we know so well. But in seeing Abram's call meshed with his father's journey, I think we begin to see some very valuable lessons for us today. Whether as a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, what we need to realize and remember is that our faith, our willingness to answer God's call affects those who follow us. Our willingness to follow God impacts the next generation. We're very good, and we've already talked about this morning, that you are accountable for answering your call. No one else can answer your call. And so I just said that this morning. We tell that to people. You have to choose to follow God. But we also have to remember that the next generation is watching us. They're learning from us. And when I say next generation, I don't just mean my four-year-old who ran out of here. I mean your neighbors, your friends, those who are not Christians yet. They're the next generation. They might even be older than you. But the people in your life who don't know God, but they know you and they know that you love God, they're watching you. And so your walk of faith, your willingness to answer God's daily call in your life shows them how they might do it one day. And so there are some lessons we need to learn here. The first thing we need to remember is that the next generation rarely goes as far as we go. We see this in a very positive light from Abram's story. Abram's family seems to be devoted to idol worship, to this moon god, and yet Abram clearly is not convinced. There's clearly something in him that says, this isn't right. I don't doubt that for the first part of his life, he went through the motions. He went to the moon temple with his family. He went through the motions of worship, but he couldn't go the whole way. He says, there's something missing, and this isn't it. He needed something of his own. He felt that there was more, and then God shows up and calls him out. We see he won't go as far as family here. But the same can be said in a negative thought process of our kids, our grandkids, our friends, our neighbors. If they're following in our faith, following us in our faith, if they're watching us answer God's call, they often hesitate to go as far as we are willing to go. You know, something like, oh, yeah, I'll attend church. We'll do this church thing on Sunday, but that's it. It's just church on Sunday. The rest of the week is mine. Because I see you doing it too, right? I'll do church to make grandma happy, but the rest of the week is mine. It's why many teenagers stop coming to church when they get older, because they were doing it to follow their parents. It wasn't their own. It's mom and dad's thing. It's not really mine. They never or very rarely go as far as we go. Having our kids follow us as we follow God's call is very important. We've seen this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is the passage we always go to at child dedication. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, you must love the Lord your God. You follow God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. You do that. And oh, by the way, while you do that, impress that faith and that love of God on your children. They're following you. Ultimately, we each have to answer God's call. Ultimately, it's not about following others, but we rarely go as far as the generation ahead of us if it's not our faith. We need to make it our own. The other thing we need to realize is that the next generation rarely goes beyond where we go. Tara agrees to answer this unique call of God, but he only goes so far. He makes camp in Haran, and the family stays there. And Abram stays with him. Abram can't bring himself to part from his family. He can't bring himself to go beyond where his father has gone. It's only after Terah's death that Abram is ready to go forward. It's after Terah's death at the end of chapter 11, we come to chapter 12, when we see Abram take this big step. The next generation rarely goes beyond where we go. Whether it's being a parent, whether it's being a teacher, whether it's leading in some capacity, the one in charge is often the cap. People can't go past that person. You can't teach what you don't know. You don't want me to be a science teacher because I'm not going to be able to teach them anything. My wife, she'd be great at it. Not me. I can't teach that. You can't go beyond. People can't usually go beyond what you can do if they're following. If we settle in our faith, if we're only willing to follow God's call so far, then those who are watching us will do the same. Again, we're each accountable for answering God's call, but when we show others it's okay to only go halfway, that's as far as they're probably going to go. And we're accountable for that. How many times have I pulled the do as I say, but not as I do? How many times do you find yourself saying that to your children, your grandchildren, to those following you, watching you? Well, yeah, that's what it says, but this is what I do. How many times have we showed others halfway is okay? You know, don't lie, but little white lies are okay when you need them. Or church is important, kids, you should go to church, but it's okay to skip every now and then. Pastor won't know if we don't show up 1 week, especially if we're watching at home. Or, hey, you should be a person of integrity. Live a life of integrity. But let me tell you, there's some really good ways to cheat on your taxes is you can keep a couple extra dollars from the government. All right? We tend to say, this is the way we should live, and yet we only go halfway. Whether through our words or our deeds, we're setting the bar for those behind us. And they rarely reach as high as we are willing to reach. And they almost never reach higher than us on their own. And so as parents, as leaders, as friends, our answer to God's call affects so many more than just us. We need to remember that. But at the same time, God is God. At the same time, God is God and we are not. And so God's calling will supersede anything we can do for the next generation. The next generation is their own generation. Well, let's make this a little more personal. You are your own person. You don't have to be defined by your parents, by your friends, by those who have led you to faith. Even though Abram stumbled in following God's call in his life at the onset, he eventually got there. He went farther than Terah. He left Haran. Genesis 12, verses 4 and 5. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram arrived in the call of God. He stepped out in faith, and he followed God. And when he did, God revealed himself again. When Abram answered the call, God spoke and God moved. We'll see that next week. But God does the same thing for us. When we answer the call of God, God will speak into our lives and move with our lives. Abram's story is just beginning. We haven't even really gotten to his story. But it is loaded with success and it's loaded with failure, just like each of our stories. But one thing is abundantly clear from the beginning. We each have a choice to answer God's call. God is calling. God is speaking. Are you listening? Our faith is not defined and it is not confined by anyone else's. We need to make a choice. Not just once, but each and every day. And sometimes that choice will come with separation. Abram had to leave everything he knew. And when he did, God revealed himself more. Separation from the world often brings deeper revelation from God. Separation from the known, from comfort, from the things that we like, from our desire, separation from these things often brings deeper revelation from God. We see this in the New Testament. Jesus shows up and he's teaching, he's preaching, and he comes to these fishermen and he says, leave your nets behind. Leave your family, leave your comfort, leave what you know and follow me. Separation from the world, separation from the things we like and our comfort often brings deeper revelation from God. And these fishermen walk away from their nets, they step out in faith, and they follow Jesus. And through them, God changes the world. And so when we're willing to separate ourselves from the things that we like, the things that we want, to say, I want to take this step and answer God's call, God will speak into our lives. The call of God does not always mean leaving everything behind to go to a new place. The call of God is not to be a pastor, to be a missionary. It means the call of God is to live for God day by day. Sometimes it's big things, sometimes it's small things, but usually it comes with leaving something behind to experience God anew. Are you willing to answer that call? The big call to follow God, but also the daily calls to walk in faith, to follow his voice. I'll give you a quick story of that as we close today. This past week, many of you know that Mel Lucas moved to Texas. He was here last Sunday. We got to pray with him after service. He moved to Texas to be with his daughter while he's recovering from his recent surgeries. And Brian Forey shared with me this week that on Monday, his wife Christine was going to have lunch with Mel and his daughter before they headed to Texas. And so Brian was going to go to work, Christine was going to go have lunch, and then they were heading to Texas. And Brian told me, he says, it was interesting. He said, I felt prompted to go to lunch. I felt prompted to play hooky from work, which we all kind of laugh at. Who doesn't always feel prompted to play hooky from work? And so it's kind of silly to say that, but Brian said, I really felt prompted to skip work, to go have this lunch. Brian had said his goodbyes on Sunday, thought that was the end of that, but he felt prompted to go to lunch on Monday. And when Brian answered that simple call, God showed up in a very unique way. Brian told me they got there and Mel's car wouldn't start. It had a dead battery. Now, I'm not belittling women here, but it was Christine and Mel's daughter, both of who I don't think know a lot about cars. And Mel is not physically capable of climbing into the engine of a car right now after a surgery. And Brian was right there. You guys know Brian is our car guy here, right? Brian was right there to answer God's call when God needed him simply to step in and jump the car battery. It's such a small little thing. Again, who wouldn't want to play hooky from work? And yet he said, I felt prompted to do something that I don't normally do. And I answered that call, and God did something. It's not always big. It's not always this huge thing, but it's always profound in some unique way. When we listen, when we answer God's call, things happen. God speaks and God moves. And so this morning, are you ready to answer God's call, to follow him with your life, and then follow his voice each and every day? Over the next several weeks, we're going to see this play out in Abram's life. And again, he's going to mess up in some huge ways. And we're going to go, well, I'm not that bad. And he's also going to be really successful in following God. And we're going to go, I wish I could be more like that. But at the end of the day, we're all going to resonate with Abram because his story is ours. Day by day, to answer the call of God, to follow his voice, to give him our lives. Let's pray. God, this morning, we begin to think about your voice and your call in our lives. And so often, we think of that term, the call of God, in a vocational or ministry mindset. But God, you are calling each of us to live for you. As we go to work, as we play with our kids, as we interact with our neighbors, and God, help us to know that our faith is not confined by others' faith, by our parents, our grandparents, those who came before us. God, our faith is not defined by others' faith, that we each need to answer your call, to follow you, to give our lives to Christ, but also to follow you each and every day, to answer those little voices, that little prompting of the Spirit to skip work, to go to a lunch, to go talk to a neighbor who might be in need. God, I pray that you would help us to hear you Sometimes that's really hard, especially in our world right now as things seem to be louder and louder. God, help us to calm our hearts and our minds to hear your voice and to answer your call. God, today perhaps for the first time to answer your call and make faith our own, not our parents or our grandparents or our friends or our neighbors. God, help us to answer the call to make faith our own, to walk with you on our own choice. And then from today on, each and every day, to hear your voice, to answer the call. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. So to close our time of worship today, since we're starting this journey in the Old Testament,